Welcome to the latest edition of One More and I'm Going Home and Going to Bed. Justin Vargo here with Josh Jones.
Did you get some new ice tray? Is this left over for the party this weekend?
That's one of the bags I bought.
Usually it's a lot clunkier.
Yeah.
This is the good ice.
Yeah, this was the non-clunky ice. Actually, that's what I asked him when I went to the convenience store.
The non-clunky
I said,
ice?
Can I get the non-clunky ice? Very astute.
I didn't know you requested
that's a, that's a very astute observation on your part.
Thank you.
We're recording this episode on Wednesday, August the 7th, and we are drinking Jack and Coke.
Yes. Why are we drinking Jack and Cokes?
And we'll get into that in just a second. First thing we want to do, we want to raise our glass to Neighbor Jean.
Yeah, Neighbor Jean.
Neighbor Jean passed away yesterday. She lived beside me when I lived on Burkholder.
You were the few people that could decipher what she was saying.
I was. And I actually, when I went to hospice Monday to, because I had no idea, she went downhill quick.
I had no idea.
Quick. I mean, I drove by probably 5 days ago, she was sitting on the porch.
Wow.
And I waved at her.
Wow.
But apparently she went to the hospital and her bowels had shut down. And so mom called me because they went over to hospice to see Tony Webb. She said, you know.
She's in hospice too?
Yeah.
Good gracious.
So was Larry Oliver. I saw all three. I was at hospice for 3 hours on Monday.
Damn.
So she said, Gene's over here. And she said, all her family's been talking about is how much Gene loved you. And how you were, she called you her boyfriend. And this
I bet somebody has.
Yeah, I know. Hey, tell me about it. Yeah. In other news, the sun is hot. So I kind of felt like I should go over there.
Yeah.
So I went over there. And, of course, her eyes were closed and her mouth was open or whatever. And there was about five of them in the room. And we got in there and they seemed pretty happy I was there,
yeah.
Which, made me feel good. So I was in their room for an hour and a half.
Damn.
I mean, cause they just kept talking and, we were telling stories and, talking about her and I had, they said, she always used to say, she said, Justin's my boyfriend. She said, what my husband doesn't know won't hurt him.
I didn't know she had a husband.
Who actually a double amputee. She was taking care of him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why we never saw him?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I never saw him.
Yeah, so I started telling them stories. I'd go out and cut the grass, and I'd usually have a beer or two or six.
Yeah,
there was one, it was right before I moved, probably 3 weeks before I moved. I was out there cutting grass, and I was getting Jaina, so I was cutting grass, and here she comes outside with a beer. And I was like, of all days, I was like, Gene, I said, I'd love to have a beer. I said, but I got my daughter, I'm not going to have any beer. So the next week when I was cutting grass, I had a six-pack out on the porch, and she came outside and said, hey, there's beer over there. Go get you one. So I finished up, and she got one, and I went. So we sat on the back porch and split a six-pack, and I told her family yesterday or Monday, I said, I guess that was our first date. They said, we had no idea. We'd never even heard that story. So then I got over near, and I said, Gene, I hope you're not mad at me, but I was telling a story about me and you drinking beer out on the back porch. So yeah, it was kind of tough, but she, like I said, she went downhill quick, but she was good people. So
absolutely.
Wanted to mention that, but so the reason we're drinking Jack and Cokes is because Garrett was in town this weekend. First time he'd been in 5 weeks because he'd been in California training, and you asked him what his favorite drink was, and he said Jack and Coke. So we're drinking Jack and Coke. So we had a cookout this weekend, and it was interesting.
It was. I was here for 4 hour span, and that 4 hour span was interesting. So the best was, I think I texted you. It was like 1:40 in the morning, because me and Tash were on the porch, and because she worked that night, and we were on the porch. I was like, "You still holding?" And you were like, "Still holding."
Still
I was
holding.
Like, "Good God, man!"
I knew it was going to be a rough shift. When Garrett's buddy Travis, who's a great guy, he's Chips 2.0, basically.
But bigger.
But a little bit bigger.
Wider.
Yes. So he was actually the first one here. He was the first one here, and I called Garrett and I was like, "Hey, you coming to your cookout or what's going on with that?" So then his buddies started rolling in, and a lot of his guys hadn't been together for a while, so I was glad, they all. Got to hang out, and
it was hopping over here. I know that
it was bumping.
My
and
goodness.
Then about an hour or two into the shift, I look over and Travis is behind that little mini bar I got over here, and I said, "How in the hell? First of all, how the hell did you get back there? Second of all, what are you doing back there?"
Pulling shots.
Yeah, He was not afraid to hand out my liquor. I can tell you that right now. So he tapped out about 4:30, 5 o'clock maybe. Fell asleep.
Oh, no. I took a picture of it at the time. It was 7 o'clock.
Oh, it was 7 o'clock.
It was 7 o'clock he was out. So, which he was out on his feet a long before that.
Yeah.
But he was actually physically asleep.
Well, he tried to get on the roof.
Oh, that was a disaster.
He damn near took out my gutter.
Me and Garrett were trying to figure out where he went. And so we were out front from the garage. I was like, oh, I think I see his feet.
Jesus. So luckily, they took his keys early.
The best was Leslie and Janet were telling me, like we got here. Like, he like poured us all shots. And we're like, we don't want to do any shots right now. So he was like, all right, I'll do them.
Yeah. He's like, I'll take this. So he laid down, and Garrett's buddies looked at me, and they said, don't worry, he'll be back. And I said, okay. So he rallied probably about 9:30, 10 o'clock. He got back up in the swing, and to be quite honest with you, for there to have been, I mean, Garrett probably had 12, 13, 22-year-olds over here.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Booth and Canterbury were here, which are like 22-year-olds. Right. And Thomas was here. I mean, considering all that, I thought it went pretty well. I don't know how many of the neighbors we pissed off. The only incidents that happened, there was minor cosmetic damage to the cornhole boards. One guy stepped on them. And I believe the same guy that stepped on, I was outside, and Lainey, Garrett's fiance, came out there and said, I just want to let you know that Ben just took a shower with his clothes on. She said, but he took his boots off before he got in. And I said, bless his heart for being considerate enough to do that. So it got to be about, I was sitting in here watching TV, it was probably 12:30. And then I went outside for a minute, came back in, and there was about 8 of them huddled around the bar getting ready to do a shot. And I was sitting here thinking, I might have hopped on a horse I wasn't ready to ride.
Well, I texted you that night. I was like, they got 20 years on you. And I said, because you said something like, I think the young guys are going to win. And I was like, they got 20 years on you. Let them win.
Well, no, that's what I did. Finally, because I was trying to pick up as I went. So finally, they all ended up hanging out in Jana's room. There was about 9 of them in Jana's room. Jana had a friend over. So finally, at 2:45, I'm sitting in here, and I said, you know what? To hell with this. I'm done. So I walked in here, and I said, boys, y'all win. I quit. I'm done. They were like, we do too. We're done too. I was like, all right. So everybody kind of got in their own little.
Well, you said, you texted me, you said, he said, the mighty have fallen. And I was like, we have fallen. We just ascended to a higher power.
Yeah. It didn't feel like it the next morning.
I told you that, too. I was like, it's going to be longer tomorrow. Yeah.
But it was a good time.
It was a good time. The best was when Travis, when I was here, somebody had called, a work acquaintance had called Denny. And Denny wasn't near his phone, so Travis decided to call his work person back.
Travis was his receptionist.
Yes, and told him. He said something like, hey, can you pick up something like this? And Travis went, we don't do that.
What are you trying to do, buddy?
Dude, that's going to be a fun meeting on Monday.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Denny actually talked to that guy later. He laughed about it. He did. Smoothed it over, so it was a good time.
I mean, I couldn't. Elias had his birthday party that day. And then I had Evelyn that night. So I couldn't really full-on party, but the little time I was here was hilarious.
It was a good time. Like I said, I didn't have any.
It was a good kickoff for Garrett, I guess. You know, he's leaving in, what, a month?
Supposedly. We're still not 100% for sure, but that's the general consensus that he's going to be gone at the end of this month. So
yeah.
I was glad we got to do it. So
yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So it was good.
Yeah. You had tons of food, too, man. There was food everywhere.
Yeah, we did. We had burgers and dogs and potato salad, beans,
and
chips.
Now, since it's your party, best thing about hosting a party at your house, I told you what, you get all the leftover beer.
Yeah, but like I told you, most of the beer in the cooler I bought. So there really wasn't.
Travis gave away half your liquor.
Well, yeah, he did. Yeah, he was real generous. Yeah, Sam Malone was real generous with my liquor behind the bar. But I didn't give a shit. It was a good time.
We had fun.
So the last 2 weeks, one of the big things that happened was the TBT tournament.
Yeah. I was fully immersed in that. I was all in.
That's actually on the list. That's coming up here.
Didn't miss a minute.
So let's start out with the fact that we We beat Seven City Royalty in the first game, 79-63, and the end of that game was fantastic because Truck threw the lob to Page. He dunked it to win the game. Ja'Shawn Page and KJ carried us in that game, and Devin Williams shooting free throws was big in that game. I think
he can't make a layup.
No. Oh, my God.
God, man.
He could not make a layup.
That is just ridiculous.
And he, I think he was like 8 of 10 from the free throw line. Because the way they did it was weird, because at the end, when the 4-minute mark hit, whatever, whoever had the high point total, they added 8, and whoever got to that number first won the game. Right. And they turned the game clock off.
Right.
So, knowing how we play, with no game clock, it could have lasted another hour and a half, 2 hours. Right. Especially the way we shot in the second half of the second game. So, we won that one, which was good. Game two, we lost to the Overseas Elite, who were the 4-time champs. And the reason we lost is because you're marginal.
Yeah, I know. In, on a beautiful Saturday afternoon, marginal, I did not sit by my computer marginal, to watch.
Marginal. How many beautiful Saturday afternoons have we spent in Morgantown watching us get our ass kicked?
Exactly. The actual school, not an alumni. But the,
it's the
tournament.
Alumni. They're an extension of us.
I followed it as best I could. I tried to watch it on my phone, but it wasn't, my service was terrible.
I haven't been that disappointed since I found out there wasn't a Santa Claus. I was so disappointed in you. But anyway, other than the fact that you didn't watch the game, so that's why we lost. Juwan Staten didn't play, and that killed us. I don't know that we...
Dan, I watched a little bit of it, maybe the first half, but Dan Wayne's going to make a... He couldn't make a two-footer. I mean, he could not make a two-footer.
And as good as Ja'Shawn Page was in the first game shooting, he was that bad in this game.
Yeah.
And I tell you who else I could not believe how much they disappeared was Deshaun Butler.
Yeah.
I mean, he was non-existent. I mean, completely non-existent. And, of course, Joe Alexander didn't play. Tariq Phillip didn't play.
Yeah.
And, I mean, without Staten, I mean, the thing about Staten versus Truck, Staten can get other guys' shots.
Right.
Truck can't do that.
No, Truck still put your head down and drive the middle.
He reminded me of why he was probably in the top three of players I have cussed in basketball. Because for every good play he made offensively, he made 4 bad ones defensively.
Exactly.
But actually, the funny part about it is our defense in the second half against that team, who won it 4 years in a row, actually got beat by the Ohio State alums. They ended up winning.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. And Nate Adrian was a monster in the second half.
He got a contract out of it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, in a tournament like that, teams aren't used to playing defense.
Right.
And obviously, defense relative to offense is one of our strengths, especially with all those guys. And then the way the damn game ended. I tell you what, I hope Tavon Myers enjoyed his trip because he ain't going to be on the team next year. Because we were down by 2, and they were in the bonus, and he fouled a guy 40 feet from the basket. So he made 2 free throws, and that's how we lost the game.
Yep.
We lost the game. Yep. So it was tough. It was tough, but... So that was good.
And
then
the crowd, they said the
Oh, it looked like a home game.
Yeah, and they said the next game when the W fan was out, there was nobody in the gym. Literally nobody.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it.
They're going to host it next year.
Morgantown is? Mm-hmm. Good. I hope we make some.
I might actually watch it.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Depends if there's a cookout or not.
Yeah. Jesus. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. So speaking of basketball,
it's not the first time I'm disappointed. It's not gonna be the last.
Hell no, it's not gonna be the last. The current basketball team is in Spain
without Oscar,
which I don't understand that.
You texted me. I was like, "What?
How did we know he signed in November? He is a native of the Congo, so he had to get a visa. And so in the 8 months leading up to that, we couldn't get that pushed through.
We knew we were going to Spain."
I don't understand what happened.
Somebody dropped the ball on that.
Based on the box score, I mean, I'm not sure that we were playing a who's who among.
Did you listen to the sports line that night?
They didn't mention anybody's name.
They didn't even mention. Not, and knowing that, when it came on the box score, it was only WVU.
Yeah.
There was nothing on the other team.
Probably because they didn't know who any of them guys were.
Exactly.
Half of them probably hopped out of the stands 5 minutes before, just hopped in a layup line. Hey, man, you want to play? Here's your jersey.
They said the level of competition was quite poor. Let's put it that way. They said the floor was slick as can be.
Here's how you know the level of competition was poor. Logan Rowd had 16 points and 8 rebounds.
Yeah.
I don't think he's had 16 points in a season combined.
They said he's lost 15 pounds. They said his most of his scoring was running down the floor and dunking.
Well, good for him.
He'd about run the other team and just dunk on the other team.
Good for him.
Yeah. They said a couple things I picked up from that. One, Deuce McBride.
That was
– they said he looks like a contributor.
On both ends.
Exactly.
On both ends.
Yeah, so he had 3 steals?
He had 3 steals. He had 14 points. He had a couple steals where he had dunk.
What was crazy about all those stats? Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
We only had 3 assists the entire game, according to the official stats.
No, I saw McCabe had 8.
That's what – but the stats that they said we only had 3.
No.
Make no sense to me. Also, McCabe apparently had a ton of turnovers. Yeah,
The box score said he had 3, but Tony Caridi said it seemed like a hell of a lot more now.
Exactly.
It seemed like, and apparently, of course, Culver had 10 points, but apparently Emmett Matthews had a Texas Tech-like performance. He's gotten bigger, and that's one thing Huggins mentioned before they left. He said he is our most improved player.
Yeah.
And that's big. They said he actually grew an inch. He probably put on 10, 15 pounds. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
They said they're probably going to play him a little bit at the 4 this year,
small.
Which will be good. We go small. So, Taz Sherman is athletic and can shoot. Sean McNeil cannot play defense.
That's what I heard. I heard he was exposed. They say he's got the prettiest shot you'll see.
Well, he had 11 points.
But
the problem is his guy probably – well, of course, I don't know with that Ivy Taylor LBA team they were playing. I don't know how many points he gave up on the other end.
Yeah, exactly. They said he was quite a detriment on defense. And they said he took a couple questionable shots.
Yeah. So, well, he'll fit right in with this team.
Yeah, exactly.
Then your boy.
But, you know, that's a learning.
Your boy Chase Harler, 14 points.
Oh, I was all in, so we're going to love him. And I was like, did you see it? It took him 14 shots to get 14 points.
I am not holding my breath on that. Mm-mm. He had a headband on, like Ralph Macchio out there. Jesus. And McCabe is actually, he's still nursing that injury. I think they said where he had surgery, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he's still not 100%. But yeah, it seemed to be the big takeaway was McBride.
Absolutely. I think if you learned anything, is we thought we'd get an idea of what Oscar and Derek would do playing together. But I think the big takeaway was Deuce McBride looks like he's going to be a big time.
Well, and he's a bigger guy. Because,
right.
I mean, that was the thing we worried about last year was the size of our guards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, between Napper, and of course, when Beadle was there, and you have McCabe. I mean, you got all guys that are sub 6 foot. But McBride, and the good thing about him is, too, he can slide over and play a little bit of point guard if you need him to.
Right. Or you can put Haley in there at point, and all of a sudden, we are really big.
Mm-hmm.
We are really big. Yeah. If you go that way. I mean, you look at a lineup of Haley, McBride, Emmett Matthews,
Culver and Sweetway.
Culver and Sweetway, and McBride's the smallest person on that lineup.
That is about the same height as the Final Four team.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just throwing that out there.
Yep.
But so, you mentioned Oscar pushing Culver. That was the thing Huggins mentioned, too. He was talking about before they left how good Oscar has been for Culver, because Culver at times last year wouldn't, even though he was our fastest player, wouldn't run the floor.
Right.
And Huggins said Oscar runs the floor every time.
Every time. Now you can tell that in watching the McDonald's All-America game. And he's
running the floor. So yeah. I'll be real anxious to see those two on the floor at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Real anxious to see it. So. Should be fun. We play again Friday.
Yeah.
I think they arrive. It's early, too. It's like 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
I looked on there, man. You got to pay like $30 to watch them play.
Yeah, exactly. It was like Flow Hoops like that. And I clicked on it while I was at work, and I was like, nope.
And then when I found out Logan Rowd had damn near a double-double, I said, I'm not paying to watch that shit. Somebody post a highlight video, which they did today, and I said, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Actually, I saw a highlight video like literally that evening.
Did you?
Something, yeah.
So that was good.
It was like from the corner of the bench.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't
like watching ESPN. More like watching Hometown Productions with
like
Bob Workman.
Been the high school gym from the hallway.
You got Shirley Love commentating. He's 10 minutes behind what's really going on. Like that time you were playing basketball, and he said, oh, we got a false start here.
No, that's when I blocked that dude out of bounds.
Well, that's going to back him up.
I got a technical foul, and he said, that's going to back him up.
Yeah. Back him up where? To the foul line?
What the hell? It's going to... Oh, shit.
Oh, not sure. That was Bill Laird, not Shirley Love.
Yeah, I think it was Bob Workman.
Oh.
It was one of them.
Larry Moan Curly.
Exactly.
I saw we offered a big-time center from Ohio, John Hughley, 6'8", 250. He's got about 25 offers for the class of 2020, so he seems pretty interested in us. Nice. So between him and Cottrell, and you got Schwebe, and who knows what happens with Cottrell. I mean,
yeah,
that's
be
a big-ass front line, man.
Absolutely.
Did you see, I'll end with this, your boy Bud Foster's retiring.
Yes, how about that? He's not that old, is he?
I don't think so.
Or he just wants out of Virginia Tech.
Well, hell, he's been there for 30 years and can't get a head coaching job.
Yeah, exactly.
There's got to be a reason why.
Yep.
You know, so. All right, man, you want to take a little break and we'll hit segment two, get a little football stuff?
Football heavy. We're getting down close to it.
We're getting there.
Yep. I'm starting listening to a whole bunch of interviews and stuff, so I'm excited.
Nice.
We'll talk about it next segment.
All right.
Welcome back to One More and Going Home and Going to Bed. And it is now football time.
24 days.
Man, I can't wait. Are we going?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think Jane will be
the game's at 2?
It's at 2.
I didn't know what the schedule was. I think it's flipped and flopped. It's all confused.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of ambiguous because Jane said one thing and the judge said something else. But anyway, I think she'll be with Leslie that weekend. So I told Jason Steele today, the godfather, that I was probably going. So I'll be able to get us some tickets. Did you see the line's out? Did you see it?
No.
What would you guess the line would be?
We're favored 13.
Nope.
20?
No. You need to go the other
7?
Way.
7?
7.5.
What?
7.5.
I mean, I know they got a lot of... Well, we'll get to it. I know they got a lot of starters back.
7.5.
That's ridiculous.
7.5, bud.
That's big.
Well, I'll tell you
what. I was begging you to take
it. I saw something yesterday. Sporting News. Top 15 worst Power 5 teams this fall.
I heard that.
We're number 10.
Yeah.
We're number 10.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
I trust me. We're going to have a bad year. But we're not one of the 10 worst teams in the country. Well, I think Kansas was worse than us. Texas Tech was like right near us. I can't remember what it was.
Well, there was Kansas and Rutgers and Oregon State.
Yeah, Oregon State was the worst.
Rutgers was second. Kansas was third. So hopefully there'll be some bulletin board material. We'll see. So Don Nealon was on Three Guys Before the Game. I didn't listen to it, but I heard it was good.
It was like an hour and 5 minute podcast. And what's great about my new job is I can listen to whatever I want to during the day while I'm working. So I can listen to all those things now. Man, it was really good. It was really interesting. Like, you found out, he got the job, basically, their review, because he got pissed off. Because they surprised him for an interview. Guy wanted to meet him at the airport in Pittsburgh. And our athletic director at the time, and this was for his second time, he was like, all right, I'll meet you. He said, I didn't have anything. I didn't have a pencil. Didn't have a pen or anything. So I go up, and I was like, I'm supposed to meet blah, 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 at the hotel. I can't remember who the athletic director was at the time. And he was like, they're like, oh, yeah, they're waiting for you upstairs. He was like, they? He went up there, and was like, the president. There was like four or five different people on the board of directors. And he was pissed off. He was like, he goes, yeah, no wonder. He goes, I don't even know how to do things one way. And that's the Michigan way. Apparently, you guys don't know how to do that. And he just told them off and then left. What? Just stormed out of the room. And they were like, yep, that's the guy we want to hire.
That's our guy.
And they asked him, and you can hear this on some of the previews, they asked him, give us a surprise team that was after you to be, because he almost took the Ohio State job.
I didn't realize he got offered an Oklahoma job.
And that's what he got offered. The president called him and was like, hey, they're friends. They were like, I know you're not leaving them for you. But
so was that after the 88 season?
It had to be. Absolutely had to be. Yeah, he talked about that too, how he wished he'd have done the game plan. He wished once Major Harris got hurt, he just pulled him out of the game. Because
Rather than trying to force it.
But the whole game plan was that. But he said they knew what Major Harris could do. They didn't know what our backup could do.
Greg Jones.
Yeah, by the time it was too late. So.
Too late. He said this was one of the worst 10 jobs in the country when he got here.
Yeah, easily.
And he built it up.
Yep.
He sure built it up. So that was good. And then we got a commitment from that kicker from Bluefield.
Thank God.
Colin Paris. Who actually, he's a walk-on. Yeah. He's not actually a scholarship guy. He actually, Sean Martin, who we talked about, I think, on the last show, who committed to UNC.
Who has decommitted. Yep.
You know why? Because they picked up two more defensive end commitments. So, he's reopened his recruitment. He's considered by most publications to be the number one prospect in the state of West Virginia for the class of 2020. Right. Okay, he's a big kid, man. He's 6'6", yeah. 250. So hopefully with the guy he's living with coming up here, and I think we stayed in touch, uh-huh. even when he did commit to North Carolina, which still didn't make any sense to me. Hopefully he'll change his mind. Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. So the other thing is, obviously, fall camp started last week. And from listening to Neil Brown, he said we are much better now than we were in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah, he liked the way our quarterbacks looked. He thought they've been looking good. He said Trey Lowe had a really good practice the other day. He thinks, you know, of course, Kendall and Allison are ahead of him at this point in time. But
well, that's what I saw. I saw where they said that Kendall, I guess, is taking most of the reps with the ones, but he and Allison are still kind of neck and neck. But the only thing that everybody knows about the quarterback battle is that Lowe is behind the other two.
Right, exactly.
And nobody knows what's good. And I guess I've been calling Jarrett Doge. It's Doge.
Doge.
Yeah. We still don't know if he's going to be able to play this year.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's taking so long.
I don't either.
How can Tate Martell from Ohio State transfer to Miami and know within 2 weeks that he's going to be completely eligible? And this kid has been, it's been, what, 3 months?
Yeah.
And the kid from Temple.
Yeah, Sean Ryan.
It's been four or five months.
He's had really good practices.
We don't know if he's going to be able to play.
Yeah. But, yeah, he talked about them. He talked about on defense, he's like looking at Jeffrey Pooler, D-line, and Jared Bartlett, I guess, one of our linebackers. And also he mentioned Quantel Reigns, who's, I think he's going to be a player this year.
He's a safety.
Yeah.
He's a safety.
Yeah, we'll talk about them a little bit later. But.
And then we got Brandon Yates, who we didn't think was going to make it in.
Yes, he
made it in, which is good because we need some competition. But Osida Smith and Rashawn Lynn, who both are safeties, where we also need help, are going to have to go to JUCO.
Yeah.
So, and then we talked a little bit about this because there was speculation floating around. Jacob Bucciagrossi's gone. But everything I saw said he – was retiring for medical reasons, but when you listen to Neil Brown, he said he was going to take a medical red shirt.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
He might
come back.
They said he really wants to play, but he might not physically be able to.
So we'll see how that shakes out. And then last week when we previewed the receivers, we mentioned a guy we'd never heard of. And I don't know how this flew under the radar, but George Campbell is a
transfer
from Florida State, and he was evidently a top 20 wide receiving recruit coming out of high school.
Yeah, he's been hammered by injuries and a couple of little other things, but they said if you wanted somebody, the defense, apparently we're talking about it a little bit, you want Reuben James to come off the bus first. On offense, you want George Campbell. They said he
big boy
looks the part.
Good.
So, yeah.
We need all the help we can get. And I saw where Mike Brown's doing pretty good at guard. Mm-hmm. They said he had a good summer.
Actually, I heard yesterday that they are really happy with the five offensive linemen they have. They said Chase Burnt needs to be a little bit more consistent on his snaps. But Neil Brown said he likes where he's at right now. They like the first five. It's just developing. They need
We're so young and inexperienced.
Yeah, they need
guys,
three more to be able to play.
Well, I saw where Parker Moore was running with the twos.
Mm-hmm.
He's a true freshman. You don't play often as a true freshman.
We got some sort of transfer, John Hughes.
Yeah.
That I don't know if we mentioned.
I think we did.
Did we?
I think
that,
we did.
That they're hoping we'll get some playing time this year, too.
We need all the help we can get, that's for sure. So we're going to preview. We were going to just do the D-line and the linebackers, but we're going to go ahead and knock out the whole defense real quick. And as I was going through and making notes, the defensive line, I can't believe I'm saying this. Obviously, on offense, the strength of our team is going to be our running backs. The defensive line might be the strength of our defense.
It's a lot better than I thought it was.
I mean, you got Reuben Jones, transferred from Michigan.
Yeah.
And that's like you said, that's what happened. He's the first guy off the bus you run.
And
they said he's a high-energy guy. Yeah. He's good in the locker room. He's like 6'4", 250. Because I think we're going to play a lot of four-down fronts, I believe, this year.
Yeah.
So you got him, you got Dante and Darius Steeles.
Yep.
And of course you got Reese Donahue. So I figure probably starting out you're gonna be looking at probably Jones and Darius in the middle. And probably some combination of Reese Donahue on one end, and then you got Taj Austin. We mentioned Jeffrey Pooler. And they're big on that Jordan Jefferson kid, the freshman.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big kid.
Yeah. So you got him in there. Is a lot better than I thought it was gonna be.
And then they also were repping Quandarius Qualls at rush end. I mean, he's not probably – he's 6'1", 230.
But they said he's the fastest. But he's, Bill Brown said he's the fastest off the line.
Yeah, which is what you need.
Yeah, especially on passing downs.
And then I heard a lot last year about Tavis – I don't know if it's Tavis or Tavis Lee, the kid from Martinsburg.
Uh-huh.
And he's like 6'2", 280. I mean, so you got him, and then you got Stone Wolfley, who's Dale Wolfley's son. You got Brendan Thrift, who's a senior – Was he the one transferred from Penn State? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got Jalen Thornton, who's John Thornton's son, yeah, who played when we were in school.
Yep.
And then you got three guys that are all upperclassmen that aren't going to play, which is Nate Green, Sam Cochran, and Josh Richey. But, I mean, looking at those guys, I mean, I don't think we're going to have an Alabama defensive line.
No.
But I feel a little bit better.
We got bodies.
Yeah, you do.
All-star caliber bodies, but we got bodies, which is saying a lot more than we had in the past.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, depth was definitely an issue. So then you look at the linebackers. And obviously the guy we're probably most excited to see what he can do is Vondarius Cowan,
yep,
transfer from Alabama. You got the pride of Anytown, USA, Bridgeport, Dylan Tonkery, who they're and still
the
high on.
The coaches are high on him.
They're high on him. I tell you who else is high on him. Matt Chips.
You know who's not high on him?
Greg Gwynn.
Yeah.
Who we'll get to later in the show. You got Charlie Benton, who was a starter last year and got hurt against Tennessee, was out for the year. I'd say that's probably going to be your starting three. They're pretty high on Josh Chandler, too.
Yeah, I would be surprised if Chandler starts. I don't know where yet, but they talked him up. What's his name? Vic Koenig said,
yep,
he's going to be the guy that you're going to have to find.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on offense, playing against us, you're going to have to find Josh Chandler.
And then you got Shea Campbell, who is not sideline to sideline, is not going to give you a whole lot.
But he's solid.
He's solid. You got Jared Bartlett, who you mentioned. Adam Hensley's a senior, but his career kind of really hadn't panned out much.
But they say he's recovered pretty good from his knee injury.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
X-ray Lowe's still there.
Uh-huh.
You got Zach Sandwich, who played a little bit last year out of necessity. And you got Rashawn, Lusain, Luke Williams, and Drew Joseph. Your guess is as good as mine on that one.
Well, I heard they moved DeMonte Lindsey down from
safety
down to a linebacker, too.
Okay.
That could play some weak side.
That's good, because he's a senior, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of safeties, somebody else that's from Bridgeport, West Virginia, that they've been talking a lot about is Dante Bonamico.
Yeah, they said he's going to play.
It just makes me nervous, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's 5'8", maybe.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you got to have a little heart.
Well, of course, Javonte Stewart's in there, too, and look what he did last year.
Exactly.
We forced him to play linebacker.
That's exactly right.
And then, of course, the big news, and the guy that's probably going to have the biggest impact, or at least we hope so, is Josh Norwood moving to safety.
Yeah. So Trey Davis, Quantrell Reigns.
You got Quantrell Reigns, and then the JUCO Noah Guzman.
Yeah, they were talking about him a lot. They hope that he could contribute this year.
He'll be eligible immediately. And then you got Sean Mahone, Jake Long, been there for a while. Mm-hmm. Osman Kamara, who's made some plays. Jamila Dye, his, I don't know if it's his cousin or his nephew, Alonzo. He transferred in. He's not a grad transfer, but he has to sit out a year, but he can play next year, so he won't play this year. And then you mentioned DeMonte Lindsey moving down. You got Tyke Smith, who's a freshman. You got Javon Thrift, who's a freshman. And then you got the kid from Capital, Kerry Martin Jr., who actually enrolled in January.
Yeah.
So he's actually got a spring under his belt.
Exactly. They said he had a pretty good summer.
Yeah.
So that's good. Because they said he struggled a little bit in the spring. They said he had a good summer.
So, I mean, you know, we'll see
how. Well, the thing about it is, where we're running that 3-3-5 stack, we recruited a lot of safeties. So even though we lost four,
we had numbers.
Yeah, if you count the two that we had in Robinson and Pitts that left, and you count the two freshmen that had to go to JUCO, we still got plenty of bodies.
We got bodies. Now, what they do on the field,
exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Which brings us to one of the most weakest positions we had last year, which was corner.
But from what I understand, they're pretty happy with the corners. That's the reason why they moved Norwood to safety.
You think it was that, or was it because we were decimated at safety?
From what I listened to Neil Brown, or maybe it was Vic Koenig, that they were pretty happy with their cornerback depth and body. So that's the reason why.
I mean, because you got Keith Washington, who's proven.
Right.
You got Akeem Bailey. They're high on Drayshawn Miller. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, I think it's the Miller, I think, is what made a difference.
But behind that, you got four freshmen.
Yeah. But apparently from what I heard on that press conference or that interview with Vic Koenig, they were happy with the bodies they had at cornerback. So that's why they thought they could fit. They were comfortable moving on.
Maybe they see something I don't. I see three names.
I mean, really, if you have Washington, because what they want Norwood to do is play the slot people. As like another defensive back,
right?
They don't have to bring bodies in. He could play the slot one on one because he's a former corner. So if they got,
well, we recruited him as a safety.
I would hope Washington and Miller. Because like, King, King Bailey, Bailey is like burnt toast.
He's like Pat Miller and Perlo Bastille. Pat Miller, Antonio Lewis. It was third in Perlo and first in Antonio.
They were talking about, you didn't hear about that Alex Seafield cancer first play of scrimmage, by the way. No, bro, that's a cool thing. He said, you know, football's the only sport where you got to sit for 20 minutes before you even come out and play. So we do something full speed right off the bat. And so that's what we do, something full speed. Either it's a one-on-one thing or something, we do something full speed right off the bat. And it, and the full speed the other day was a one-on-one between him and Hakeem Bailey. Alex Seafield and Hakeem Bailey. Guess who won that battle?
I'm going to guess Seafield.
Brandon made a nice little one-handed catch on the sideline.
I think he's going to be... I think he's going to play a big role in the passing game this year.
That was the Chad Scott's interview today. That's all he talked about.
Yeah.
Was how consistent he's been.
Yeah. I think him in open space, and given the fact with our inexperience at quarterback, our question mark on the offensive line, a new system, yeah. I don't think we're going to take a whole lot of chances. And I think if you can dink and dunk a little bit here and there and get a guy in space, I think Singfield's going to have a big year. So we'll see. So that's the defense for 2019. So. Yeah.
We should bring up a couple things that Neil Brandon said this week in his press conference. One, he said Bryce Wheatley is the most improved.
Bryce Wheaton?
Yeah, Wheaton is the most improved player on the team at wide receiver. And he said we started off this in the spring not really having guys with some height, mm-hmm. but now we have height. If we get Sean Ryan and George Campbell, I love this phrase. He said, there are guys that are open by birth.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which means they're tall and they're bigger and they can catch 50-50 balls, so they're open by birth. That's a great phrase.
You can coach a lot of things. You can't coach height.
Exactly.
Or genetics.
Exactly. Yeah. So it seems to me like they're getting a lot more. I think you're going to see a lot of – we're going to have the same sets, a lot of fast-paced offense, but the wide receivers are going to be a lot of running backs. You're in the game, then you go two back, we go one back, and we go no back, all with the same personnel.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna find out here pretty damn soon.
I know, man. 24 days.
24 days.
We're gonna find out real soon. 7.5-point favorites. That's bullshit.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
That's Dagan to take that view, which scares me.
Speaking of bullshit, let's head to the third segment.
Oh boy, we got two bullshitters coming up.
We got two bullshitters coming up.
Alright, man, we're gonna take a break, give them a call.
Yep.
Alright.
Welcome back to One More, I'm Going Home, I'm Going to Bed. Now we're going to do four questions. You know, I was thinking about this. We usually do four questions, two assholes, but it's actually four questions with four assholes.
Well, I took myself out of the asshole part of the equation.
Well, you're just a dickhead.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So we
worse.
Yeah. So for the second week in a row, we have opened up the phone lines here on One More, I'm Going Home, I'm Going to Bed. And we are pleased to be joined tonight by esteemed Mountaineer fan, Mountaineer alum, pride of third floor Borman North.
Has one of the best WU jackets around.
Has a great Letterman jacket.
Absolutely.
The coach, Greg Gwynn. Coach, thanks for being here, buddy.
Pleasure's all mine, fellas. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. We're excited.
Yeah.
We were expecting the phone call last week, so we're excited to see what questions you might delve into.
This is awesome, man. Hey, I got to say, first time caller, long time listener.
Nice.
I can't get without getting that in there.
You can't tell you how excited Bargo is about that.
I love that line. That is my favorite call-in radio line, without a doubt. Well, Gwynn, you got the floor, my friend. We're going to lead off with a sports question. We'll let you take the steering wheel.
All right. Well, you know, I'm a little bit sick and tired of all this negativity for this season coming up. You know, we got no quarterback, offensive line sucks, you know, barely going to get bowl eligible. So I tried to focus on the positive this year, and I'm thinking our running backs are looking pretty good this year, and, you know, I think we got four pretty good ones. And so my question to you guys is this potentially the deepest and best Mountaineer stable of running back ever?
I would say since 88, probably.
I actually think it is the deepest, if they pan out to live up to their potential, because from what I've heard from the coaching staffs, is not only are we deep there, but they're all doing well in practice, that they're going to use them in a variety of ways, because they are really our offensive talent.
Yeah, well, and they all bring different things to the table. And I tell you, the other thing, too, is they're high on Tony Mathis. The freshman.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to play much this year, but I mean, he might only play like a few games for redshirt purposes. But yeah, without a doubt, It the preliminary, just looking at it, I think so. I think it's the deepest crop we've ever had.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, all of them are going to play. All of them are going to play a lot. They're going to run into, we're going to do a lot of sets where they're going to be in the game and go out the wide receiver. They're really high on Alex Singfield. We didn't get to see a lot last year. So, you know, you got him, Letty Brown.
I think Pettaway's tough to tackle.
Pettaway, I mean, how do you not play them? They're our best offensive players.
If we can get serviceable play out of the offensive line, I think we'll surprise
you. And Gwen, you didn't hear our last segment, but I talked about how our coaching staff is actually pretty high on the five offensive linemen that we have that are starting, but they're not as depth that we're worried about. Mm-hmm. So our offensive line might not be as bad as we thought it was going to be, at least for segments. So if they can open up some holes, we got talent to exploit it. Yep. That's for sure.
What do you think, Gwen?
I think we're going to be better than expected, to be honest with you.
I like that.
Most serviceable, you know, play out of the O-line, and I think we got some NFL talent there in the backfield.
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
Yeah, and I like the way that they're going to do a lot of up-tempo, and we're not going to change personnel. So our you can have Alex Singfield and Kenny McCoy in there. I forgot, Kenny McCoy caught like 17, 18 passes last year. Then we're going to fan out the wide receiver. So we run back set, two back set, or all wide receivers, and we don't have to change personnel to do it.
And that's what we were talking about, Gwen, in the segment before this, is because you got a new quarterback, you got question marks on the offensive line. Obviously, the deepest position on the team is running back. So I think the running backs are going to play a big role, especially in the passing game too. A little dink and dunk here.
I think
quick hitters.
Yeah,
you know,
the question they brought up on Sportsline, I'll pose it to both of you guys. They said over, I think last year our running backs caught 25, 26 passes. They put the over under at 51 this year for our running backs.
That seems high.
I thought that was high too.
That seems high.
Now I wouldn't be surprised. If somebody said if it's in the 50s, then we're having a really bad year on offense. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's above 40.
I can see that.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's around 40.
What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, you know, the line's not that great, you know, if they're just serviceable, and, you know, little quick hitters out of the backfield, you know, I could definitely see greater than 50, you know, balls being caught by the back out of the backfield.
Yeah.
And, you know, just get the ball in their hands, man. We got playmakers.
Exactly. Chance Scott was talking about the other day how Letty Brown did something he hadn't seen before on tape or anything. He caught the ball down the sideline, and instead of trying to dip his shoulder and knock the cornerback out, he actually juked him and went in for a touchdown.
Good.
So if Letty Brown's doing that on the outside, then everybody else can do that too. So look out.
I agree.
We got enough playmakers that we can win more than three games.
Oh, I agree with that.
Oh, yeah,
I
absolutely.
Agree with that.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
I mean, come on.
I think the first month is going to be interesting because if we can get out of there 3-1 or maybe even steal the Missouri game, but nobody's giving us a chance in that game, and I don't really get that.
I don't get it at all. They're in the same situation as we are. So they got a bigger name transfer, I guess. I don't know.
But how good was Kelly Bryant?
He wasn't. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they wanted him out of Clemson, so I don't know. I don't get it. But anyway, that's a whole other story.
Yeah. That's a good question, Coach. Good question.
We're ready for the next.
Hit us with the non-sports.
The non-sports. Well, it's still kind of related to sports. So, you know, I've had my frustration with the concessions and the restrooms at Mountaineer Field in the past.
I have
my question to you guys is, if you're in charge of running the Aramark or Sexo, whoever runs that operation, now what's the one change you would make the experience a little bit better?
I would keep what they have now, but add a couple more of those beer vendors.
Well, they got rid of the ones in front of the like right in front of the concourses.
Yeah.
They used to have six or seven on each side set up.
Right.
To where, and the worst was the year that they had the Sodexo people pouring the damn beers.
Yeah, don't do that.
That
just open the freaking beer and give it to me.
I tell you what else, Greg. I know this is not really the concessions, but I'm not too happy about the bathroom situation either.
The line just to get in the bathroom is a joke.
I mean, hell, at the spring game, how long were we standing in line?
The whole thing is horrible, and year after year after year, it does not change.
No.
Yeah, and they made all those changes to make a better fan experience, and it's made it worse. It has made it worse. Especially, again, I got so mad last year. There was a game. I went out before halftime, and the halftime was completely over with, and the second half had started, and I was still not to the front to get a drink.
I'll tell you something else I don't really understand about the whole logistics of that thing, is we expanded the east and the west side.
Yeah.
Okay? And they put the concessions. They're not covered. None of those concessions are covered. So they take away more beer stands, and they don't cover the lines where there's
line? Yeah. Makes no sense. No. Whoever came with that plan was idiots. I mean, let's face it. I hope it's something different this year. Bring back the. If I had to make any change, I would bring back those small beer vendors, because that's what we stood in line for the most. Not for food. We just want to go get a beer.
Yeah.
And it took you 20 minutes to get a beer. Yeah. That sucks.
Hey, speaking of changes, that was a good question, by the way. Have you seen the new parking garage up there?
I just saw a picture of it.
We're trying to figure out where it is.
Down there. Is it on Willowdale?
I'm trying to remember what Willowdale even is. It's right there by the Diversity Club, I think.
Okay.
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 Okay. Yeah, we couldn't remember exactly where that was. So we couldn't figure out exactly where that parking garage is. I don't even remember them building it last year.
I don't either.
So they put that thing up fast, whatever they did. So
built it like a temple.
Yep. You excited, man? You ready for the season to start?
Oh yeah, man. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's do it, man.
Hey.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't want any 3 or 6 win predictions in your prediction show. Nothing
like today. I'm not going at 3.
I was quite bullish in our last show. I'm actually quite bearish, to say. I'm a little bit more bullish. I'm approaching average.
Well, but here's what we said. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I was like, oh, man, the line's going to be weak. We don't know about quarterback, you know. And I said this.
Yeah.
As we get closer
and
you start seeing highlights of practice and you start reading articles and this and that, the win total prediction is probably going to go up.
Exactly, exactly. We're going to do our prediction show in 2 weeks, so we'll find out then.
Looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you calling, man.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right, you got it.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy. See you.
Bye.
Welcome back to One Morning I'm Going Home and Going to Bed. We're on the back leg of the 4 Questions, 2 Assholes segment. And we are pleased to be joined by a avid Mountaineer fan, the one and only Fat Dave Taylor.
Fat, and we should preface this, not F-A-T.
P-H.
P-H-A-T.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My ass, well, Dave. I bet you haven't had a carb in 10 years.
Like people in Arnold Hall, where he was as a freshman, called him Drunk Dave Taylor, because they would hear him sliding down the hallway and hear spoop when he hit a doorway, spoop, and he hit a doorway, spoop.
You knew what you were doing.
One side of the hall and one on the other. He loved us.
Nothing wrong with that. Hey, you were just trying to be aware of your surroundings, Dave. We got
that's
you.
That's right. That's right. It's better than falling down, Dave Taylor. You were just sliding, Dave Taylor. All right, man, you ready for your sports question?
Yeah, but first I just wanted to say I was passing earlier, but we the pregame. How much I appreciate the podcast. I listen to like 3 podcasts, and your guys is one of them, is my favorite. Because I don't get to talk or listen to people talk West Virginia football down here, so it's good to hear you guys talk every week and talk about, bring up old shit. And yeah, it's just really good to listen to us every week.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, yeah, thanks, man. We appreciate you listening. We got just like 12 of you.
Yeah. We don't cast a broad net, Dave, but we're appreciative of those few fish we get in the boat.
Yep. An inch wide and a mile deep, right?
That's right.
All right, man, let it fly.
Well, so I got a question. This is not putting something counted in my question, but what are y'all drinking tonight?
Jack and Coke.
Okay, I'm drinking wine, so you can maybe edit it in later to say I was drinking Jack and Coke too.
Okay, we'll do that. I'm not sure if we have the technological capabilities to do that.
We got a mouse running on the wheel back here.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Dave, we got to feed the hamster here in a minute, or we're gonna lose power.
All right. So, forgive me. It's a little long-winded to get into this, but there is a question here, I promise. For some reason, I've been thinking a lot about how, you know, how really close we were at the end of Nealon's tenure.
you know, it was, there was no innovation whatsoever in that system or that, even the athletic department at large. The more I thought about this, I guess I blame Pastor on some level, but Rodriguez was out there. He could, like, what if we would have brought him in as assistant? Like, cause you think about the first year he was at Clemson as an assistant. If we'd have had that kind of a philosophy, you remember, like, when we were, maybe when I was a junior in college, we got innovative and brought in, like, a West Coast offense. Remember? Which,
yeah.
We were throwing, like, these bubble screens to Foreman
yeah.
and Saunders. Like, this is our innovation that everybody's been doing for 15 years, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm thinking, like, we were pretty close. You know, within a couple, you know, 6-7 years, if we could, we potentially could have had a cutting-edge Rodriguez assistant head coach or, you know, offensive coordinator with Nealon sort of still being able to recruit his ass off, right?
Yeah.
Put together, like, those Jerry Stills, John Thornton, Canute Curtis, those types of defenses with, like, a cutting-edge. Like, the first year with, I don't remember who the quarterback was at Clemson. He scored, like, points a game.
Woody Dantzler.
Yep.
Yeah, like, if we could have had that with one of Nealon's, like, top-of-the-line defenses, we could have beat just about anybody.
Yeah, I agree
so
with that.
So my question for you guys is there a pairing of offense defense that you guys thought would be able to win a national championship? I guess, to me, like, the high bar is still going to be, you know, Major Harrison, that team that had a great defense and a great offense, yeah. But is there, like, one that you would... If you go to, like, an alternative universe, like, where Rodriguez came in early and Nealon stuck around for a couple more years and we could have that sort of great defense and great offense at the same time?
Yeah, I think right now, if we'd had Rodriguez or Dana Hogeson, honestly, with 96 defense.
Yeah, the 96
defense. I mean, that 96 defense was phenomenal.
That's the first thing that popped in my mind.
I mean, and you could put Bobby Bowden's offense in with that defense, and that would have been...
You could put Bobby Workman's offense in with that defense.
Look at how we were almost with
8-0
with Chad fucking Johnson.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you put that 96 defense in with any other... And put basically any Rodriguez year, and I would say any Holgorsen year.
Well, what about 2012?
Yeah.
What about the year?
If we'd had a pulse for a defense, we'd have done pretty good that year. But we didn't even have a pulse. You could have put any other defense in.
If we'd have had the 96 defense with the 07 offense, the 2012 offense, the 88 offense, not that the 88 defense was bad.
Right.
I think we'd have definitely been right.
I think so too. That is a great what if, because we've had years where we've had fantastic offenses and terrible defenses. A lot of those are Holgorsen years, and we've had years, a lot of Nealon years, with great defenses and no offense to show whatsoever. But that 96 defense was
nasty.
So good.
We were number one in the country.
Yeah, how many pros were on that team?
Well, you had Canute Curtis. You had Gary Stills was a backup on that team.
Yeah,
John Thornton was on that team.
Yeah, I mean.
Dave, your boy Bob Baum was on that team.
I just always went back to that and say, we used to be able to recruit top caliber defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't anymore. And that's why I just think, like, if we could have got somebody that's, I don't know, Nealon just had such credibility and such a, reputation that he was able to get into places where our new guy can't. Boy, if you just mix that in with either one of those offensive sort of geniuses,
it'd have been a good mix.
Anybody. Exactly. And that was I think, Nealon's best thing about him and the worst thing about him. He was ultra conservative. He thought, run the ball, play good defense. Run the ball, play good defense.
He didn't evolve.
He didn't evolve. And then, like you said, and he never did get to that. We recruit that one offensive coordinator who would just take it to the next level. And that's, we never really had that under him.
Then Nealon could have stuck around for 6-10 more years, you know?
Yeah.
He just brings in somebody that's going to, if he was able to give the reins over to somebody that was, you know, the next level of offense.
Exactly. I mean, we had a pro quarterback and a pro running back in Zerway and Bolger and didn't do anything with that. So, yeah.
Good question, Dave.
Good question. That's a thought provoker there. I'll put some matchups together.
I don't
have
an offense just because I trust Pat White more than any other quarterback. I wasn't around when Major played, but for me, Pat White and that offense. But
yeah, he was a winner.
It's just the system. Everybody knew what they had to do, and they were good at it, man.
Yep.
Oh, that offense under Pat White and Steve Slayton would have been a perfect complement to that 96 defense because the way we ran the ball kept other teams off the field, and that defense was just stifling. So, yeah. So that,
stifling.
And that may be, to me, the best running offense I've ever seen.
Oh,
you got Devine, you got, who's the big white guy?
Schmidt.
Schmidt.
Slayton.
Yeah. Darius for center. I mean, that offensive talent was just ridiculous. Oh, honestly. Yeah. And like you said, people knew it was coming.
Couldn't stop it.
And couldn't stop it.
Except for when Mike got hurt.
Kind of like you, yeah. Dave. People know you're coming. They can't stop you.
Speaking of not stopping you, we're ready for the non-sports question.
All right. Let's see what we got here. So I guess I'm wondering, is there any cultural phenomena? Sometimes you hear people say, and it's almost sometimes it's out of spite, like, I never watched Seinfeld, or Star Wars. I don't like Star Wars. Or you say, like, did you watch Sopranos last week? I mean, these are some very musty references, but did you watch Sopranos last week? Like, I don't watch Sopranos. Are there any things like that that you sort of, just out of spite, don't participate in? So, like, for me, it's, I think Pennington maybe got me into this, was sort of bashing, not liking Dave Matthews, even though his music is really good. Like, I've just always said I don't like Dave Matthews, and I'll never go see him in concert.
Yeah.
Is there something like that for you guys where you're just, everybody else is into it, and you know it's probably good, but you just don't participate out of spite?
Yeah, for me, it's Facebook. I don't know what your answer is.
I know exactly. I refuse to this day to watch Rounders, the movie Rounders. With Vince Vaughn, and because everybody talked about it so much, including George Gannon and Derek Hahn. They talked about it so much, I refuse to watch it.
Fair enough.
To this day, I refuse to watch Rounders.
I think they only did that for about a month.
There's a Rounders? What was it with Vince Vaughn? And, was it called Randall's? Rounders is the poker playing game, I think. What was the name of it?
Another way you're thinking of, where they go to Las Vegas?
Yeah. I can't think of the name of that movie now, but I refuse to watch it.
So in other words,
I know Vince Vaughn's in it.
Josh doesn't know what his answer is.
Yeah.
Dave.
I've had too much, Josh.
But I know what he's talking about.
You're going to have to call back in next week to get Josh. Josh is going to have to Google what his answer is.
Will text us immediately as soon as he hears this and tell us what movie it is. Swingers. That's what it was. Swingers. That's what it is. Swingers.
Right church, wrong pew.
Yeah, exactly. It had an ER on S on the end.
Yeah.
But I refuse to watch that movie. Absolutely refuse to watch it.
Swingers. Yep, that was it.
We were talking about the other day. We were started watching Friends again on Netflix because it's on Netflix. I forgot how funny that show is. Swing used to love that show.
Funny show.
Yeah.
Which show?
Friends.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Dave will tell too.
How you feel about that, Dave? Tell us how you really feel, Dave.
It's good. I liked it.
So I got to tell a little story about Dave. When Dave, I think it was graduated college, we had a party at his dad's house in Oak Hill. And we had a rule that everybody had to tell a Dave story. Was it like every hour or something like that?
Like about like volunteer work and caring for the sick and the
all your hard time at Kroger's.
Helping old ladies across the street. Yeah, I remember those stories.
Or the one time a girl shaved his eyebrow.
Which one?
Remember the one where the girl shaved your eyebrow?
Oh yeah, sure. Yep.
She didn't shave both of them. Just one of them.
One of them was for like the locks of love.
Lots of love.
My favorite was when we talked Dave into going out one night, and he refused at first, but he agreed to go. But he wore what we called his out and about pants, which was sweatpants and his slippers. He wore his slippers to the bar, and that thing stuck everywhere he tried to walk.
It's a good uniform, Dave.
I feel like that was a pretty sturdy look back. A lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, that's the look now, especially if you go to Walmart.
It's the big club.
The same club where Bill Payton stole that guy's hat. And like he came back like a few hours later and was like, hey man, can I have my hat back?
Bent Willie's,
that's what it was.
Bent Willie's, yeah. So you guys gotta get Pennington on here. These are some more Pennington stories, I think.
Yeah, that we can spend all night on Bill Pendleton. We could probably spend all night on Dave Taylor stories.
Hey, we were thinking about getting Bill to call in, Dave, but we'd probably lose the 30 people that listen to this show. We'd probably be down to 8.
Yeah, he does have a reputation for flipping off a nun. Yeah. We're not sure if it's actually real or not, but it's believable.
Yeah.
So that's the thing about it.
If Bill was on here, it may jeopardize his chances at public office one day.
Hey, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that ship left the harbor a long time ago.
That's like when Phil Keys got that tattoo of Guinness on the back of his neck, and you looked at him and said, well, that's kissing corporate America goodbye. Yeah. That's about the same.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Mm. All right, man. We appreciate you calling, buddy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy.
Enjoy your red wine. Is it Pinot Noir? Is it Cabernet?
Merlot?
It's a blend, and it's the one with the Australian kangaroo on it. So $5 a bottle.
Nice. Yep,
there you go.
Nice.
Very bourgeois, we said
earlier. It's a good weekday wine, man.
Nice.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care, buddy. Thanks, see you, buddy.
Bye, guys.
All right, man. That was a lot of fun.
That was good.
The question, are we going to do it next week or next time? Or are we going to bring back to me and you throwing the questions out? We'll do it one more time before the summer's over?
Yeah, we'll do one more.
Get some takers to get on there and do that?
I think so. I think we can find some people to do it.
Next time, though, it's prediction time. Yeah, man, you got 2 weeks.
We'll be 10 days out.
Yeah, exactly. Be 21st, so.
Yeah, I got my prediction.
Yeah, already you sitting in stone. You're gonna be flexible for next week.
I'll probably be flexible.
Question is, are we gonna go game by game, or are we gonna do it? Or are we gonna just do it total?
No, we'll go game by game. This is an unpaid, unadvertised show. Who gives a shit?
That's a good point. Somebody should be paying us.
Yeah, they should be. instead, tomorrow you and I'll be paying for this.
Exactly, as we always are.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I guess there's nothing left to say, but
one more, I'm going home, going to bed.
One more, I'm going home, going to bed.